Naughty Debate.
With me today, I have Tech, the Clockwork Doctor.
Hello.
Jim Ryan.
Greetings.
Also known as Other Doc. And we have Mark, the Encaffeinated One Kilfoil, also known as Audio Chocolate.
Good evening, everyone. I'm practicing my Mandarin. It's not working very well.
I think it is.
You got the look down.
You know, when they said take Mandarin in school, I didn't think that's what they meant, but I want to do it now.
Yeah. You put it back when you were finished?
This is going to be a good episode. Not only do we have folks, multiple doctors, but we also have multiple people also known as.
Mm.
Everyone here has an also known as. So
also known as, a.k.a. also known as.
Well, they say redundancy is a podcaster's best friend.
I think I've heard that.
Actually, podcaster's best friend is redundancy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. I keep messing that up.
So today we are going to talk about how can you tell a movie's going to suck? And we have this topic thanks to Jim. So thank you for the topic. Jim, do you want to start us out?
Okay. So yes, this is all my fault. This occurred to me because a friend of mine on Twitter said that today that he's going, that he went to see The Great Gatsby. And so, of course, that was the first thing that came to mind for me. I have not seen that movie, really, nor do I intend to, because Mr. Lerman and I do not get along very well. I had drilled into me at a relatively impressionable age back when I was taking drama in college. I don't know, it was about 8 years ago. about the Aristotle's Poetics.
When you say taking drama in college, is this code for something?
I dropped drama the other day. Yeah, drama. They were selling drama on the street corner. You know, it comes in blotters. And
the first soliloquy is free. The next you gotta pay for.
And so if you take enough, you end up on reality TV.
Or diplomas, maybe?
Something like that. Yeah, it's like you lick the edge of the diploma and you get a reality show.
I should really try that.
Yeah. Apparently.
Ooh, baccalaureate. Ooh.
It goes bad after a while. But Aristotle's Poetics, basically, which puts spectacle as the last category. That's spectacle is the last thing you want to worry about, apparently, on that. And, you know, the first thing is, plot. And of course, people are, of course, on the internet, so they'll be looking it up and telling me how horribly wrong I am. But it's roughly in that ballpark. And the things like those things directed by Mr. Lerman do not fall anywhere near that ballpark or even that sport, I think. So I thought, well, how do you know if a movie is bad? It's really subjective, but we all have our... So really all I can do is think of things that tell me why I think a movie is bad.
So and, for you, if it's directed by Baz Luhrmann, it's a bad one.
That's one example, yes.
I'm on the other side. I happen to love his films.
I have a list.
Deck has a list.
I made a list. Let me.
When the heck prepared? I just heard about the topic like 3 seconds ago.
Yeah, I did this just a few minutes ago. Okay, how do I know if a movie is going to suck? If it ever aired on Lifetime or the Women's Network or on the Hallmark Hall of Fame. Ooh, if it ever aired on Showcase after 11 p.m. Side note, unless I was watching it alone, because that's when I saw Gia for the first time, and that's pretty good.
We need to discuss, though. I have to concur with you about the Lifetime Network, the Women's Network, yada, yada. Hallmark Hall of Fame, you will cry through every single movie, even if it stinks.
No, because you don't watch them.
And you'll even cry during the commercials.
All right. If it was ever based on a video game franchise, examples, Mortal Kombat, Doom, Street Fighter, and others, it's a cartoon.
Okay, well, that's a pretty severe criteria, which I'm going to have to disagree with.
Name one movie based on a video game franchise that was successful and good.
The first Mortal Kombat was actually both successful and it was a good movie. I won't necessarily go so far as to say the second one was, but that's an entirely different kettle of fish.
They didn't make sequels. They did not.
Also,
just like there was only one Matrix movie.
Resident Evil wasn't a bad movie, even though it diverged from the actual game by about 3 light years. But
I'm
it was
confused. Don't you mean the Let's Watch Mila Be Hot movie?
Yes.
That's like no, all
stand,
of them, isn't it?
I stand by it. And actually, that's
there you go.
I think Doom was actually better than I expected it to be.
Didn't even bother.
My expectations were not huge, but...
Guys on Mars, Portal to Hell, guns, aliens, lots of gore.
I mean, how much do you want out of that kind of movie?
I'm still waiting for the Wolfenstein 3D movie.
Jeez. That'll be awesome. I hope to God. Well, there has to be some guy get shot and yell Mein Leben. If not, it's just wasted 2 hours of my life.
Well, if I may, I will say that Street Fighter The Later Years, which is a YouTube series, was very good.
Also not
a movie.
I know,
not a movie. But if they made a movie in that vein, that would be good.
If it's a live-action version of a children's cartoon.
Ooh.
Like Flintstones.
Yeah. That can be rough.
Yeah.
If it has anything to do with cars, except cars, because that was good.
Wait, Gone in 60 Seconds is not a good movie?
Nope.
No.
Just mainly due to the fact that myself having a mechanical background and knowing too many things, it's like anything that has guns is a central plot point, or anything that has cars is a central plot point. They get too much wrong and they trim too much out for the sake of movie magic and ruin it. Yes.
The Cannonball Run movies, those were fantastic. They were.
Other than the color changing Lamborghini.
Dom DeLuise and well, every other 80s star.
Yes.
And the awesomeness of everything.
Odd-numbered Star Trek films. I'm sorry, Jim?
Well, I was going to say, how did you feel about Death Proof?
That's the one I was trying to remember. Thank you.
Death Proof? I don't know Death that Proof. Movie.
That was the other movie Yes, thank you. I'm going to forget everything, so I'm going to just let Jim answer everything for me.
I will be acting as Mark's subbrain today.
I knew I left it somewhere.
Wait a minute. You actually were able to offload some of your consciousness?
You know what they say, redundancy is a podcaster's best friend. So never rely on the one brain you were born with. There's a second one somewhere. And the internet is the perfect place to find one.
This all works. It makes sense to me. You continue.
Odd-numbered Star Trek films.
Do you consider the most recent one odd-numbered?
Oh, I don't know. I was disappointed by the reboot. I don't know what's going to happen with this one.
See, Star Trek the Motion Picture, while there's about an hour's worth of extra footage in the movie that you saw... What, you didn't like the tour of the universe? The hour-long tour of the universe?
Look at these special effects. Bwong.
45 minutes of V'ger on screen going, blah.
I mean, an hour worth of extra footage that was accidentally left in the cut you saw in the theater.
Star Trek 1 was a great short film. It's a shame they couldn't go to an hour and a half or 2 hours. Yeah, great episode.
It takes a long time to get Wong technology right. I mean,
they tried the new one.
Yeah, I mean...
It turned out it came out of sparkles.
Yeah.
And lens flares.
Exactly.
It took them until that Chris Nolan movie to really get it to a decent place, you know.
Well, my argument, though, is that the Next Generation kind of ruins the whole odd number, even number thing. Because Generations was odd numbered. Or was it? I don't know. Is it part of the number system?
Generations was 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was good. Yeah,
but then they sort of reset and they get all weird.
Because Nemesis was bad.
So you're in the strange universe where Generations was good, and I don't know if I can understand.
I liked Generations. I have my nitpicks and problems with it, but comparatively, if you compare it to some of the other movies, it's a lot better than some of the other movies.
I'll be honest, I was disappointed with all the Next Gen movies because they either seemed like really long episodes, and then why did I waste $12 going to the theater to watch a really long episode? Or they were just bad.
Well, you know, the chain of suckitude, I think, was gravitically pulled toward Nemesis, probably.
Nemesis. Yeah.
And that was an even numbered one.
This argument about, you know, hey, this of the series was better than at least compared to, say, one other movie kind of fails when you have a real stinker in the series. Because that basically yeah. sets your floor so low that anything gives a pass at that point.
What Final Frontier?
What do they mean, God?
Yeah. That one's really bad.
What does God need with a spaceship? I don't know, but he certainly needs a movie.
What does God need with a spaceship?
What does God need with a movie?
Yeah, I know, right? Why does God climb a rock? No, wait.
He's making love to the mountain.
Yeah. That's where mountains come from. Okay, I understand now.
No, that's where molehills come from.
Where molehills come from? Yes, good.
When tectonic plates love each other very much,
if the earth is rocking, involved. Don't come a knocking.
Am I old enough to know this? I don't know.
What's next on your list?
Okay, I got four more. Talking animals.
Yeah, I'll agree with that one.
Well, hang on now. Are you including animated features in that?
No, except cartoons.
Yeah, you expect animals to talk in cartoons,
right? The whole family movie genre of cute animals doing human things, which then spawned the inevitable sequel of cute animals doing human things with puppies.
Air Bud,
Beethoven, all of the ones
Andre.
With a monkey.
Although I did actually laugh at Dr. Doolittle, the new version with Eddie Murphy. I don't know why, but I did. So
I don't know why I laughed at that either, although I really like the original.
I think it might be a defense mechanism to prevent the crying from happening.
Yeah, it could be. Expel enough air to push it away.
It's like gallows humor when you're under stress, right? You watch the guy next to you get
exactly,
shot, and you start laughing.
Yes, precisely.
And the last one on the list, it says theoretical sequels of wildly popular movies that were great standalones. Things like The Matrix.
What, Highlander 4 was not your favorite movie?
There can only be one.
There can only be one. Yeah. I mean, didn't...
There should have only been one.
Having very spotty memories of the entire franchise, I think because I've blocked most of it out in some sort of stress reaction. But... didn't Highlander 2 basically rewrite the whole story and then get dismissed as not canon? Didn't Highlander 2 say they were all space aliens?
Yeah. I don't know. I've never watched it.
I think it mentioned midichlorians.
I watched the first Highlander movie and I watched some of the series. And that's it. Because I know better. Just like I've only ever watched The Matrix and none of the other movies that were never made.
It's a problem both sides, though, because both they see the amount of money that was made. They go, oh, let's make another one. And everybody sees the movie and sees how good it was and says, oh, please make another one. And we all think we're getting what we want. But if you don't have a second in mind before you do the first one, then you're not likely to have a second afterwards that's going to be worth anything.
I agree.
It depends who drives the sequel. If it's the creator who says, wow, I have another story to tell in this world, or if it's the studio going, let's milk this sucker dry.
Serenity 2, James Bunk. No?
I think that's on Skinemax. And I would download
Late Night Showcase.
Showcase.
David Duchovny and the Red Shoe Diaries.
For non-Canadians or people who have lived in Canada, Showcase is a basic cable channel that gets pretty explicit after 10.
Well, I mean, isn't there Showcase in the States as well?
Well, there's Showtime, and that's like HBO. You pay extra for that channel. Whereas Showcase is just open to anyone, and everyone gets it with their cable package.
Showcase has always been it's the artistic channel. It'll have like Live from the Met, and it'll do, plays and theater productions and like really artsy movies.
It's like what IFC was when it first came out,
and they'll do a lot of foreign films and a lot of art house stuff. And then late at night, it gets blue.
I've seen Bush.
Blue.
I've seen his mother watching something with Bush on Showcase and not blink an eye because it's Canada.
You're not speaking of the former president.
Lord, no.
Nor am I speaking of Kate.
Ah, I understand. Right.
I think we're talking more Emmanuel. Emmanuel, if I recall correctly.
Yes, exactly. Emmanuel.
My lost youth.
Plus 1 point, sir.
Yes. Yeah, well, there's a series that never should have had too many sequels. When they went to Emmanuel in space, and I kid you not, yeah. They got
really?
Tired. Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, topic again now.
How do you know a movie's going to suck?
Oh.
I have additional criteria if
go ahead.
You would like me to throw something out. So, I have this thing that I talk about from time to time, which I refer to as the Godzilla theory of cinematic quality. Whereby when I'm trying to decide if I think that a movie is bad or not, and I don't know for sure, I imagine what the movie would be like if Godzilla were in it. If adding Godzilla to the movie makes it better, then it's a bad movie. This does not work with giant monster movies, but for the most part...
Is that like adding in bed to the end of a fortune cookie fortune?
Godzilla in bed.
So it's kind of like that, I think, yes. In a way.
Speaking of...
I'm looking for the Godzilla quotient on most of the reviews that I read. Right.
Yes, exactly.
The English Patient versus Godzilla.
Yes, you see.
Godzilla, you know. Yeah.
So, you know, there are any number of Jane Austen films that I just think of, and it's just imagines Godzilla, you know, rampaging across the garden, and I'm like, yeah, that's better. So
we just elevated the debate here. You did it again, because, like, any number of Jane Austen films. I mean, he's talking about Aristotle and now Jane Austen, and I'm like, I don't know.
Sorry.
Emmanuel.
Well, that brings...
Yeah, that's my contribution.
That does bring up one of mine. If it's a beloved franchise from years ago and they've just started to remake it, or if it was done in another country and the U.S. decided, hey, let's have it made by Hollywood so we can make it with a bigger budget and milk this for everything it's worth.
Yeah.
Godzilla, by the way, is an example of this.
Yes, it is. I think that movie would have been great if Godzilla had been in it.
It can be done well. I haven't seen it yet, but I do want to see Let Me In, which is the version of the Norwegian Let the Right One In.
And Not One Born? Not Born?
I hope not.
Okay. I heard the title.
I've seen Let the Right One In, or what the U.S. version. Mm. I haven't seen the Swedish version. I really did like the U.S. version, so I don't think it's too Hollywoodized, actually.
But what about things like The Ring and that whole the translated?
Yeah, The Ring was done well. There are exceptions that prove the rule.
Although the one that
I haven't seen it, but there's The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
But that's based off of a movie.
No, but there's another. There's the Scandinavian movies as well as the books.
Okay, yeah. I don't know then.
Mentioning The Ring reminds me of The Grudge, which was Sarah Michelle Gellar in the Americanized version, still set in Japan, oddly enough, and not living up quite to the original. If the people really take the effort to adopt the material, get to the core, and then kind of replay the setting slightly differently, that's okay. But just doing it because you want to, you know, people speaking with North American accents, that I don't care.
Yeah.
Give me subtitles.
And the whole bringing the old favorites to modern day. We've already discussed Dr. Doolittle. There's also the Nutty Professor. What's the bad one with Steve Martin with all the kids?
That's quite a wide category, I'm afraid. I don't know.
With all the kids.
There was like Father of the Bride.
He did Father of the Bride also.
Yes.
I'm totally blanking on it.
There was another one with all
of the kids, and it was Jimmy Stewart, I think, in the original. And
actually, it's odd that you mentioned Steve Martin in a remake of an old film, because he did Roxanne, which was a remaking of Cyrano de Bergerac.
But that was done well.
That was a reimagining, I think you could call it.
It's still a pretty big nose.
That's true.
The scene where he decides to point out to the guy at the bar how bad his insults are by going on a whole diatribe of things that would have been funnier. And it's something like he places a bet with him. I can come up with 50 or 20 or whatever it is, better jokes. And that is one of the best scenes in comedy. And that's classic Steve Martin. New Steve Martin, not so good.
And that scene was actually lifted pretty much directly from the play, but the insults were new, which was good.
Yes.
I liked Roxanne. I think it, but it's an adaptation, so it wasn't trying to pretend not to be Cyrano.
I mean, Shakespeare, everything in Shakespeare's been remade. We're actually waiting for Joss Whedon's Much Ado About Nothing, I think it is coming out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
As an adaptation as well. I think the main thing we see with all these is just that when people don't really care about the source material, they're looking to cash in, or they're looking to just translate it to the new audience that may not have seen the original for some reason, that's definitely a sign of a bad movie. And we've seen that over and over again. I got to say that just about every movie that the Sci-Fi Network in the States, or SIFI, whatever it's called now, all those million-dollar movies, I mean...
Yes, if it is on Sci-Fi, SIFI, it's bad.
I love Bruce Campbell, and I've tried to enjoy the movies that he was in with those, but it's pretty terrible. And people go crazy about some of them, like the, you know, half crocodile, half shark, half whale. I don't know what the hell.
It's mega shark and sharktopus. Oh yeah,
mansquito.
Yeah.
Mansquito.
I mean, I kind of like when they did those originally. You know, back when they didn't really have a budget. Now that they have a budget, or I don't know, it just seems like it's insincere to me somehow. And I have a lot of really terrible movies in my collection that I absolutely adore. Just that in every single one of them, I can find some sincerity about the way that was written, or, you know, the acting was really, really good, even though they're given the absolute garbage to say.
It's so bad it's good.
Yeah, or the special effects are so bad you can still see the duct tape holding the monster together. You know, it's great. I love that. But they're not bad films to me. Bad films are ones that disappoint me, the ones that either have this great buildup and then kind of just either fall entirely flat, or I wait a year and then I just give up on the film. This happened recently. I haven't even seen it now. The G.I. Joe film, I want to see because it's The Rock and it's Yippee-ki-yay, Bruce Willis.
Yeah, that guy.
But it was like, I was all ready to see it a year ago. And then he went, oh yeah, no, we're going to put that off so we can charge more money in 3D films. And it's like, now you've just disappointed me. And I'll see it for the cheapest way possible now. Probably
Space Theater, woo!
Probably on Netflix, and it's like or subscription, or whatever. But it's you know, if I go to a movie, I'll tell you the things that, first of all, I know it's going to be a bad movie. Almost all the trailers are terrible, and if they tell me that I already know what the end plot is in the trailer, then they have completely failed me. It's like, why am I going to bother seeing this film? All I'm going to see is basically the hour you cut out, which I don't need to see anymore.
If the trailer is nothing but a reel of effect shots and shot, fireball, pretty girl, eyes. Oh my God. Funny reaction. Fireball directed by Michael Bay. I won't.
Battleship? Isn't that Battleship?
Battleship,
trailer?
Transformers, all the rest of them.
For a long time, and there are two exceptions at least, I've always said if Keanu Reeves is in it. There are a couple actors, you know, it's like if Gina Gershon's in it, who are some of the other actors I was saying earlier?
Leonardo DiCaprio, please grow up.
Kathy Griffin.
Is she even in movies?
I hope not. If she is, I haven't seen him.
But there are definitely like certain actors, you know, David Duchovny, speaking of wooden actors. If you know that the person can't act and they're in a movie, yet oddly, if you go all the way to the other end of the spectrum of wooden and you have things like Christopher Walken, somehow that makes it better.
Let's get style. That's purely style. There's a couple of, I wish I could name them offhand. I really can't remember, but I think one of them is Julia Roberts' brother.
Eric Roberts.
If he's the bad guy in your film, done. Done. He's so terrible at being a bad guy.
But wait, if he's the bad guy, what do you mean if? It's Eric Roberts. He's always the bad guy.
Even if he's the good guy, he's the bad guy. I don't. And the thing is, I've seen him when he's not playing a bad guy, and he's actually not a bad actor. It just that if he's trying to be menacing, it just comes across as kind of schmarmy, and I'm just not interested.
So, as a corollary to this, are we all as I am blotting out in our memories the Doctor Who TV movie?
I think everybody does, except to bring it up as an example as to why the U.S. needs to leave British stuff alone.
And I just got the Doctor Who stamps. He's in there. It's official. It really happened.
Yeah.
I can just say, though, that that was an alternate universe, the pocket universe of Earth, and that was not the Master. That was the Master Shadow. How's that?
Was, oh, they've done things like that. Small
clone left behind and some experiment he was doing. And
We're lucky in that the Doctor Who writers even just pretty much only, as far as continuity goes, it's just whatever they remember at the time. So they're totally cool with that. So it's good.
It's always risky when a TV show goes to a movie. That's another warning sign. Sometimes that works. Sometimes it does. The Doctor Who one was not really successful. A made-for-TV movie is also kind of questionable about whether it's a real movie or not.
He's
wearing a movie
also,
mask.
Because, you know, Star Trek going to the movies was a good step, I think, overall, even with the stinkers.
The problem with Star Trek doing that is everybody else thinks they can do it too.
There is that. But there's also, I remember so many times, really good movies they'd make TV shows from, you know, like Clueless made a lot of money in theaters, and it wasn't actually a funny movie. And then they made a TV show that lasted like 5 seasons. Really?
That rarely works.
As much as I liked Kirk, no.
Unless the movie was an extended pilot for the TV series, which does happen sometimes.
Disney used to do that a lot in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
They would throw out a made-for-TV movie and see if people bit, and then if they liked it, they'd make a TV show out of it.
But then there are also exceptions to that rule. Yeah. MASH and Buffy. They were better than the movie.
Yeah, I want to cross over with 2 of them.
Yep.
I want to see Buffy in, like, MASH.
You could totally do that, actually.
You know that Klinger was actually a Slayer, right?
That would explain a great deal. Up to and including wearing the dresses, I think.
Yeah.
I thought he was a Watcher.
He could have been.
No, Radar's the Watcher.
No, Radar is another Supernatural.
That's
true. Yes. Yeah, Radar got to go home.
That's true.
That's right. Where did he show up after MASH? I don't know if that's good or not.
You never see BJ outside. He's always in the swamp or in the operating theaters because he can't be sunlight. Vampire.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's not martinis in the still.
See.
So
back to bad movies, as opposed to explaining how MASH was actually a supernatural drama.
See, now I'm trying to rack my brains, trying to think of why Lieutenant Colonel Blake is a Time Lord. But anyway.
Sherman T. Potter, that's all I got to say.
That's after he regenerated.
Yes, exactly. My point exactly.
TV shows are canceled every year. For some, it's too soon, while others are not quick enough. Join the Dead Television Society as we review TV shows that you, the listener, suggest. The only thing is that the shows are, well, dead. Find us on iTunes or at deadtelevisionsociety.com to see which shows get dug up next.
How do you know if a movie's going to suck if it's been sitting in the vault for 3 or more years? You know, if they made the movie and they put it away, but then one of the actors got an Oscar or became really famous, and then they just put it out so that people are going to watch it just because the actor got famous.
Yeah, there are exactly video companies that are notorious for that.
Yes.
But it depends on the reason why it's sat in the vault. Because if it's
Cabin in the Woods, yeah, that's the exception. No,
there's another one I'll get to in a second. You know, if the movie sucks, we're not going to produce this. We're going to shelf it. And what was his name? The black guy from In Living Color.
Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
That guy. makes a bajillion dollars, wins all these awards. Yes, I said black guy. I can say that.
Yeah, but no, you said black guy from In Living Color.
Yeah, there was only a couple. You know, the movie, you know, the show with Jim Carrey on it and that redhead girl.
You did remind me of another reason that there's some movies I don't like. If it has a Wayans in it anywhere, and it's not strictly a comedy.
Wait, what if it's Damon?
Major Payne.
I'm sorry, the curse.
Oh, yeah.
Family, really.
I do. I think he is the only talented, but
so he did that really, really stupid. No, it wasn't Black Hawk Down. It was that one with the jet fighter that got hit by lightning and tried to take out the White House. It's some sentient jet fighter thing that they shelved and no one liked it.
Oh.
And when he got all of the Oscars, all of a sudden they started throwing anything with his name in it.
Why did I think that was Black Hawk Down?
Oh.
Not Black Hawk.
Because as you're describing the plot, I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Stealth Fighter or something like that.
Man, I tried to forget that. Oh, yeah. Actually brings me to the corollary to what you were saying earlier. Your professional background gives you a certain insight into what's going on the screen. Well, mine does as well.
Mm.
And any movie that involves computers,
kind
of a central plot point.
Oh, yeah.
it's sort of
you're
like
you're not jacked in, you're not alive.
And
I liked War Games, damn it.
War Games was fine because it was really odd, and they like played chess. The Sandra Bullock movie,
The Net.
There
was a TV show.
The only movie I stood up at the end and yelled at the screen and said, "Oh my God, what the hell was that?" And I'm not the kind of guy who does that, but that movie just kind of drove me up the wall.
Yes, not only was it a bad movie, but they made a TV show from it that had Tim Curry.
I tried to watch that because it had Tim Curry, and I thought maybe you spread a little Curry magic over it. Just
and
wipe
then,
it all away.
Yeah, but this was around the time that Tim Curry was doing, it wasn't Power Rangers or Voltron, it was one of those clone type movies where everybody was like an action figure and he played like basically the brain that told them all what to do.
This
and
is the problem. You spread the curry too thin. You have to focus your curry.
He was playing the master hacker that was telling her what to do, and then she met him and he was 14 years old.
Hey, see, curry does
I
not
see
improve
Tim Curry
every
play
dish.
14.
To finish my point from earlier, the reasons why movies are shelved. An example of a good movie that got shelved for no reason of its own was A Phone Booth with Kiefer Sutherland's the bad guy.
Yeah.
Which was a good movie.
Wasn't that shelved because there was a similar actual incident that happened?
Yeah,
so they were afraid.
DC sniper thing and 9/11 and another attack and all of these things. The movie got pushed off like 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That wasn't actually a good one though. But a lot of times they'll shelve things. What is it I saw on The Dark Side of the Sun? It's Brad Pitt's first movie he ever filmed.
Dark Side of the Sun?
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
Does not compute.
It's about a guy who has an allergy to sunlight, which is an actual thing. But, of course, the way they displayed it is nothing like the actual thing. And so he had to walk around if he went out during the day in full motorcycle leathers and a helmet and everything. And it was filmed in Romania and lost there for a very long time. And then he became super big and suddenly it was released in North America. And it also, this ties in with any movie that has the same title as a movie currently in theaters.
No, that's
but it's released
Asylum,
to DVD.
Asylum Theater or Asylum Movie Company that puts out all the almost the same title movies. I think they had
Transmorphers.
Grim Brothers.
You know, it's actually funny. They put out Abraham Lincoln versus Zombies around the same time as Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter came out. And actually, a friend of mine that I went to college with is in the Lincoln versus Zombies movie.
Nice.
And actually, it's actually they did it, and so I had an obligation, so I watched it. And it actually, you go in expecting it not to be, you know, a brilliant thing, but they played it completely straight. So I got to give them that. They at least followed that rule.
Oh, so bad. So bad. Any other thoughts?
I'm trying to remember any of the bad movies I've seen recently. And I realized I hadn't seen a lot of movies because I was avoiding all the bad movies that came out recently. And so all I'm thinking of is all these great movies. I just saw Iron Man 3. It's like, oh, no, I like that one. Okay. What was the one before that? I saw Avengers. Wait, really?
If a 30-second trailer needs 476 cuts to get the point across, I'm probably not going to want to see the movie, most likely because I've developed epilepsy.
Well, there, Dark City.
Oh, I love the
trailer
Dark City.
For that.
I don't know the trailer, though.
The trailer for Dark City was, I thought, one of the best possible ways you can do a trailer. Because it revealed, like, nothing about what the movie was about. But like the movie itself, the shots were all very rapid, and you had all of these strange things going on and weird images and people flying across the screen and such, but you weren't sure what was happening. And it got to the point where I was like, my God, I've got to find out what this is. And you go online to the website and try to find out what's in the movie. And they still don't tell you. They tell you, but they don't tell you.
So that hooked me. I saw Dark City in theaters, and I don't think I saw a trailer, but I think we walked up and we saw the poster and I said, that looks cool. Let's go see it.
I had the opposite reaction to the same type of trailer for Inception. I know is a good movie. Everyone says it's a good movie. It's on the must-watch list.
Yeah.
But every trailer was office blocked, moving sideways, Deco standing weird, V'ger noise in a building going, blah.
They got the wah balance right in that movie. It took them that long. But
I will say, if your trailer has the V'ger noise, I don't care.
If you can't tell the person's trailer from the other 16 trailers that are in the theaters,
because
they copied everything else, then forget it. But they got no creativity to promote their film, which is sad.
Hey, can we get the In a World guy to come back and do more trailers? Because
he's dead, actually.
You'd need a Ouija board for that one.
Well, hang on, Mark. Can you do that for us? You could be the new In a World guy.
Possibly. I'm not cozy up to my mic, so it won't have quite the same effect, unfortunately. In a world where themes actually work in movies and trailers never lie.
Awesome.
Has everyone here played Mass Effect 3?
I have not, unfortunately.
No, sadly.
The collectors.
You're the only one.
the collector aliens, when they land on Earth and they start walking around attacking, they make the V'ger noise.
They do, actually.
They really do. Big laser.
That makes me think there's an alien inside an alien inside an alien.
It's Inception. Alienception?
Alienception, yes.
Alien nesting dolls?
Also, there's another one. If the movie sounds like it's a pun of existing movies out there, then it should have stayed as a pun and not been made a new movie.
Or it's a porno.
Well, okay, I'm not going to comment on that.
What constitutes bad porno?
That's a different
the trailers. It's all about the trailers.
Apparently.
if it's based on somebody's stand-up routine that they've turned into a full-length feature film.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, Ernest.
That goes for TV shows too.
Poor Jim Varney.
I'm looking at you, Ray.
During the trailer, they are promoting the things that the actor or the director has done, which takes up more time in the trailer than actually talking about the film. Then the film is meaningless. If they're doing that and you don't know any of these things, then there's not even a film there. I don't even understand how that works. From the director of Great Animals 3. Like, what the hell is that? I don't know.
If they link to a credit and the other credit's a sequel.
Yeah.
If they link to a credit that you know the credit is crappy. You know,
I gotta say that
from Hollywood Chihuahuas.
Three.
Chihuahuas versus Terriers. Even more terrorific.
Well, and I think that movie, by the way, the trailer would have been something like, you know, written and voiced by, you know, Drew Barrymore from Charlie's Angels Full Throttle.
See, what's sad is that we're going to go on IMDb after this and we're going to actually find that movie exists.
No, it does.
And
my whole link there was true. My niece loves that movie and it's horrible. And I think they made three.
Didn't somebody do that as a trailer? Somebody did that as a trailer for a comedy movie that came out, and it's like, you loved him in this. You loved her in that. You like all of these other movies. And they have nothing to do with this. I think it was for one of the Austin Powers ones. That's the one that went with the, if you have to see one movie this year, yes, see Star Wars. Yes. If you'll see two, come see this.
And I think I actually got to use that line a couple of times because Austin Powers and Star Wars came out at the same time during different sequels. Yeah.
If your movie is a remake of, say, an 80s or 90s television show, but not in the same vein, it just fails for me. Now, the one I'm sore about is 21 Jump Street.
Oh, yeah, 21 Jump Street.
Because that was a serious sort of drama back in the day. Now, granted, it was back in the day, so I don't want to watch it again. But making it into a comedy just sort of turned me right off. It's like, first of all, did you really need the name? Why are you taking the name that people recognize of one thing and going, yeah, it's just a name?
Didn't they do that with like the Mod Squad?
I was just going to say, there's the Mod Squad, which had actors I really liked in it, but I think they tried to go too serious with it.
Yeah.
It was not.
I saw that and I didn't know what to make of it. It was an odd thing. I wasn't sure how I felt about that one. I should probably apply the Godzilla test to
the movie. It's a bad movie.
Yeah.
If you don't know how you feel at the end of it.
I need to apply the Godzilla test to that one. I'm not sure. I need to go back and see it and figure that out.
It just doesn't watch now.
You know, I think Godzilla would have made that movie better.
If you're remaking Godzilla, it's probably a bad movie. Let's add that one.
There's that. Yeah.
If you added Snoop Dogg to the cast of your movie...
Actually, although it's going to be a counterexample because The Big Bang, The Big Bang, I think it was,
Robert Maillet one?
It was, yeah. And it does have Snoop Dogg in it.
We still haven't watched it. It's sitting right there. We've got to watch it. It's your copy, and we haven't watched it.
I don't know if they added it to it or not, but although if your movie features all stars who were stars as children, but you haven't seen them for the last 10, 15, 20 years... Yeah, forget about it.
Aww.
I don't support comebacks. No.
You loved him in that 1964 episode of We Found Him.
Your parents loved him as a young man, and now you will too. No.
What? Robin Macchio doesn't age.
Yeah, it doesn't
work. Thanks to the invention of this Lazarus chamber.
I am starting to get concerned about Ralph Macchio, actually. And so.
He actually hasn't been alive for 20 years. He made a lot of videos a long time ago, and he just made a video for every possible occasion.
Including Dancing with the Stars. Got it.
Actually, absolutely. It's really just a Karate Kid outtake.
This was going to be the next Karate Kid movie, but we decided to scrap the dancing and get Hilary Swank instead.
Strangely martial moves.
If George Lucas wrote your dialogue and your love story...
Wob, wob.
Yeah.
If George Lucas is unregulated, I think
the movie has midichlorians in it.
Well,
I swear, single-handedly, in one fell swoop, my favorite film franchise was transformed into Dragon Ball.
So, what you're saying is that midichlorians to Jedi are what sparkles are to vampires.
Thereabouts. Yeah, it's pretty close.
Well, luckily, I don't think we have to worry about George Lucas doing that again since he sold the rights and said he will not be doing it again.
Yeah, it's in the safe hands of Disney now.
Yes.
Oh, God.
They can't screw it up worse.
Oh, yes, they can.
Oh, yes, they can. Remember all those talking animal movies I was just talking about?
Okay, but remember how scared everyone was when Disney bought Marvel?
True.
Avengers, Iron Man 3, all of this other stuff.
But then they gave it to our boy Joss. Yeah. And they said, here, dude, go nuts. Here's, do some superheroes.
See?
They're not letting him anywhere near this.
Yeah. Here we go. If it's a superhero movie and the villain is terrible, then it's going to be a terrible movie. Examples? Both of the Fantastic Four movies. I'm sorry. Dr. Doom's no pushover. And Galactus is not a cloud.
I agree, but that was not the only problem with those movies. There were
But that's definitely a big characteristic. If it's a hero superhero movie and they have nobody to go superhero heroic on, I forget it. Mm. A good villain makes a great good guy, great superhero.
Sadly, it's become lately that if it's a DC character, it's not going to work in the movies, which is kind of sad.
So the DC corollary is if you can't hear the villain speak. Actually, I haven't seen that one, but that's one of the reasons I've stayed away from it. It just sounds, you know, like I'm going to need subtitles.
But you can't hear the hero speak either.
I just don't know why I'm bigger than Bane. I'm a pretty small guy. I could whip him. Please, he's like this tall.
You're still thinking of Shinzon, though.
It's Shinzon.
He may only be like this tall, but he's this wide, so it does make a difference.
Yeah. But he makes up for it, yeah.
The Arkham video games had a fantastic Bane.
It's easy when you can do it on a computer.
No, I don't ever want to hear those lines in a movie.
It's easy when you can do it on a computer.
Or shall I just return, you know, your Piccadilly, just enhance. If there's a short film produced by fans that's absolutely loved before the movie comes out, it's probably going to be better than the movie.
Yes, that is very true. Speaking of which, you've all seen the Man of Steel short?
No, actually.
Go look it up. It's amazing. It's a fan film of Superman, and it is 100 times better than anything we'll ever see done.
I was just thinking of Batman versus Predator.
Yeah, I saw that.
By the way, it was meant to be a funny movie, funny like college humor video, but
Batman Patton versus Oswald,
no, Patton Oswalt as the Penguin.
Oh, geez.
I say cast really? Him. No, really, does a good copper pot. Really good.
Cobble pot,
whatever. It's good.
And possibly a copper pot. And it's, yeah.
A new villain.
We call that a still.
His reputation is tarnished.
Oh, God.
Does he make a better... Would he make a better cobble... Does he make a better cobble pot than Danny DeVito?
A million times, yes. And that whole movie was sad because you had some amazing actors and they just had really bad writing and direction.
If there's more work done on makeup than there is in your script, then there's a problem.
Yes. Yeah.
This improvised sock puppet makes a better penguin than DeVito did. Penguins, take that, the bat, see? Give me Miami.
Looks just like him.
Nah, see?
Now, if you put the sock in a suit, then we can talk.
Yes. And hat add monocle done complete.
And with that note, does anyone have anything lastly that they want to say or any gems that you want to hold up as movies that are examples of all of these things?
Or more sock puppets?
Well, I'm afraid as examples of, oh dear. Well, I hate to say it, but we have reached the point that relates to my third theory of film, and that is that it's the theory of conversational entropy, and that is that any conversation about film, if allowed to go long enough, will end up at the Schumacher Batman films.
Wow. And,
those, I think,
did we,
are...
like, Godwin ourselves or something? According to your rules?
You know who else talks about the Schumacher Batman films? The Nazis. There we go. Godwin in 58 minutes.
We have those, I think, are shiny examples of the things that you want to stay away from, and that if you watch them will give you nightmares. I don't know about you, but whenever I rob a bank, I always bring a rocket ship with me.
I had one. Sure, they take it everywhere. Thing.
Just in case. Especially that last one, the Batman and Robin, where just basically things happen for no reason whatsoever.
The only good thing about that,
Batman.
Yeah, exactly. It's the only good thing about that movie is the one line.
You know what's really bad about that movie? Bat nipples.
You know what's really bad about that movie? That movie.
Mark, what is your example of a movie that has three or more of these rules?
Oh, wow. I can't think of any more examples. The problem is I could probably go out to my shelf and pull off a bunch of them that no one's ever heard of. It wouldn't do me any good. And that's part of the thing is like if the budget on the film, if the budget is too big, then all it's doing is throwing more stuff up in the background that you don't want to see. I'm going to go with the new Star Wars movies because they had more budget than like half of the countries on this planet, and they didn't know what to do with it, so they just threw it in the background as opposed to saying maybe we need to do a script revision, maybe we can tighten this up and make this a little smaller, maybe we can eliminate some characters that are completely redundant and or offensive to just about everybody, but instead instead we'll make figures of every single character in the background that you've never even heard speak. Yeah, if there are more figures than lines of dialogue, that's also a problem in your movie.
Good example. I'm going to have to say Hollywood Chihuahua 3. That, it's got talking dogs. The dog is the main character. It is a live action movie. It's a sequel of a movie that should never have been made in the first place.
But just imagine how much better Lassie would have been if Lassie actually could speak to people. What's that, Lassie? Billy's dropped down the well? No, you idiot. I said Billy's doing fine and well. It's Tommy, which is over there snorting coke. Lassie's a bad dog.
A lot of this is Lassie's fault, I think.
Lassie, go home.
Oh, Lassie.
It has the whole trailer problem of, you know, these people from these other movies, and it has nothing to do with this movie. And they just kept making more and more of them. What is your example?
Filmmaking is art, and it makes beautiful art, and done by very talented people. When the quest for money and greedy studios or greedy artists takes over, it ruins the art, and we can all tell. I don't know if mainstream audiences are that stupid or if they just treat us like we are that stupid. But example, one of my favorite director-producers, Luc Besson, does fantastic, amazing work and has a series of French action movies called Taxi. There's four or five of them now. They're really, really, really good. Find the subtitles. Find the subtitled ones. They're really good. They're French. They brought it over to North America with Jimmy Fallon and Queen Latifah in New York City driving yellow taxi cabs.
I remember the trailers for that one.
I do, yeah. Too. I would never have attached it to a French action film.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be, it stars a guy named Sami Nasseri in a white Peugeot, which is a modified race car that he uses as a taxi in the streets of Marseille to stop a bank robbery. And it has, it's a vehicle, pun, for these great movies of car stunts and like flipping cars through streets, under bridges, over things, under things, through things. Really cool stuff. And then they did it all with CG. They shot it in Manhattan with Jimmy Fallon and Queen Latifah. Never saw it. Don't want to. It was horrible.
I watched it because I love Queen Latifah and I love the taxi movies. It is horrible. I still love Queen Latifah.
Well, sure.
And she's hysterical in it, but it's not Taxi.
If the only reason these people are stars in the film is because their name is well known, but it doesn't feel like they should fit that role, that's a really big flag right there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a movie about cars. Yeah, which is one of your rules.
But it falls into that suspension of disbelief. Yes, I know a car cannot change its rims by itself, nor can it grow wings or skidoo tracks to go up Chamonix, but it does, and it's awesome.
Nor can this all happen by just changing the steering wheel.
Well, no, he flips switches in the glove box, and he takes out the racing steering wheel, and he puts it on, and then it turns into a race car.
So it's Transformers without Transformers.
So now that we are done, I'm going to have everybody pimp their stuff. Jim, go right ahead, pimp away.
Current project is folks can hear is I am one of the hosts of the podcast Crucible of Realms, on which we build a different setting every episode. It's a total brainstorming thing, basically, and we have rotating guests. And it's ever since I got an actual day gig, an actual day job, it's been hard to get the we've got a backlog of stuff that I've got to edit. And so it's taking a little while between episodes, but we're still releasing stuff. But that is at crucibleofrealms.com. If you want to go back and see the various links to my various other projects and podcasts that I've done in the past and the book that I wrote and all that stuff, you can go to my main website, which is jim.com.
It's an awesome website name. I love it. And the Encaffeinated One, please pimp away.
Well, let's see. The main thing that I've been doing for 7 years, I guess, is The Weird Show. Parsec winning and Parsec nominated podcast, which I've been happy to do. You can find that at theweirdshow.com, and it'll be your gateway to bizarre ideas and strange news and odd thoughts and a lot of me rambling these days, oddly enough. You can also find me at my day job occasionally. I go to chsrfm.ca, the radio station where I work. I do a couple of different shows there, a guest in a couple of different shows, and just I'm generally proud of the stuff we do there. And I have a novella that has been nominated for a Parsec this year, which is quite neat, which I wrote a couple of years ago. That's Tainted Roses, Death to a Mind, kind of an awkward title. I wish I'd thought about that longer than the rest of the novel, but you can find that at Patio Books, and I'll actually be at Dragon Con this year, so maybe you'll see me up on stage getting someone else's award.
Yay. And yes, both Tech and I also volunteer at CHSR-FM, which is why we were cheering CHSR. Yay. We're also found on other shows there. And Tech?
I am the Clockwork Doctor. You can find me on nimlas.org. I have a column that I'm now ignoring that I need to write more. I have a book that I'm writing that I'm now ignoring. And I guest on podcasts, which I'm now ignoring. Why am I ignoring all of these things? Because reality sucks. Not the movie. It really sucks.
No, no. Reality Bites is the movie.
Yeah, well, whatever. Yeah,
apparently. Reality Sucks was the bad $1 million ripoff movie.
There you go.
That was the assignment.
With vampires.
But I have a book in the work, tentatively titled The Red War, to be coming out soon, which is a nonfiction book about soldiers on Mars. I'll let that sink in for a second. Yes, a nonfiction book about soldiers on Mars, taking a look at the technology, the engineering, the physics, and all of the beautiful ballistics that happens when you try to shoot real guns on Mars and where things go from there. There's a series on nimlas.org of blog posts that I wrote, which is my ballistics guide for geeks, writers, and geeky writers that I hope to add more to, which explains the physics behind how guns and bullets fly and why things work and how you as a writer can use some of that to sort of add a bit of believability to your universe if you want to without needing to write a physics textbook.
Yay. Cool. All right. Well, please send in your comments, feedback, questions, whatever, to nettybites@nimlas.org, or you can leave a comment on the blog at nimlas.org, or you can call us at 347-NETTY-42, or you can tweet me at NukeChoss. Also, if you are a listener, you are a mixed nutcase, so please join the Facebook group. If you go to facebook.com/groups/nuttybites, you will be able to join the mixed nutcases where I give you a nutty question of the day, which is a lot of fun and some fun conversation that will distract you from your day job. Thank you, everyone. Goodbye.
Greetings. I'm Kevin Lauderdale. And the name of the show is It Has Come to My Attention. Once a month, I spend just a few minutes drawing your attention to genre-related things that may have slipped under your geek radar. Classic movies finally out on DVD or Blu-ray, not-so-well-known books, audio, graphic novels. Not the sort of stuff you'll see on Amazon's front page, but the sort of treasures that are buried several clicks in under the recommendations carousel. About half the time I mention things for proper geek parents or put into the hands of proper geek kids. And sometimes I even do a funny voice or two. All of this for free as part of the Chronic Rift Network, available on iTunes and at chronicrift.com.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios. You can find us at nimlas.org/blog. Contact feedback at nuttybites@nimlas.org. Call our voicemail line at 347-NUTTY-42 or 347-688-8942. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. Basically, you can share it, you can send it around to your friends, just don't change it, don't sell it, don't try to make any money off of it, and link back to me, my site, and everything.
One more thing.
Yes?
I don't know exactly the timing of when this is going out, but you may, if you are lucky in getting this early and are going to the Baltimore area around the end of the month, there's a possibility of going to one of these nutty debates live, I understand.
That's true. I have a feeling this one will be going out after Balticon.
Well, then so forget everything I just
missed
said.
It.
So well, thanks for coming out to seeing us live at Balticon. You were all there.
Yes,
you guys
awesome.
Were great.
Yep,
I'm not
yep,
going to be there. Are you kidding me?
It's good to have that announcement for the sake of redundancy, though, you know.
Yes.
Since redundancy.
It's also good to have that for the sake of redundancy.
Yes, exactly.
Goodbye, everyone. Thank you. Bye. Say goodbye, guys. Come on, don't be rude.
Adios!
Goodbye, guys. Don't be rude.